First of all, I want to offer my appreciation to those who filled in for me last week, for Nathan, for Chris, and for Sam. I listened to their lessons, and it occurred to me that one of the really neat things is that when I'm gone, you don't just have somebody that fills in, you have somebody who does a fantastic job. And you get lessons that are very, very beneficial and practical. And Nathan's lesson, The Private Life of a New Year's Resoluter. And I smiled at a couple of things that he said because they were so pertinent to me, one of them being when he was telling the story about paying it forward with the toll, you remember? And he made the statement, that he got mad when after 90 times of doing that, nobody recognized it. Only one person recognized it. And he said, I thought, what good is it to do good if nobody notices? How many of us have not felt that at times? We just think, well, you know, nobody cares. You know, here I am trying to do something good, and nobody cares. And then Chris Freeze, and by the way, it was a remarkable thing that a man would bring his family from the D.C. area moving here and get in on Friday evening and be willing to teach a class on Sunday to fill in. That's an incredible thing. And not only did he teach the class, he did a fantastic job. And I'm going to recommend now, and I'm going to do it again in our Bible class, that those of you who are a little bit timid about thinking that you can't share the gospel with someone that you have a concern about, I'm going to recommend to you that you get a copy of that CD and that you give it to that friend. I don't know what he titled his class, but I titled it A Walk Through Romans, and he did a great, great job. And so I would really recommend that to you. And then Sam, that evening, I never did hear the title that he might have given to it, but something along the lines of not allowing ourselves to be controlled by the world around us, but rather being controlled by God and keeping our focus on Him. I really deeply appreciate the lessons that they brought and their willingness to do that. Listen to these verses and think about what they might have in common. Romans 1:8. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you because your faith is being reported all over the world. Philippians 1:3 through 8, which was our scripture reading. I thank my God every time I remember you in all my prayers for all of you. I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's right for me to feel this way about all of you since I have you in my heart. And whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 2 and 3. We always thank God for all of you and continually mention you in our prayers. We remember before our God and Father our work, or your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Thessalonians 1, 3 and 4. We remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus. For we know, brothers and sisters, loved by God, that he has chosen you. Now, did you pick out a common theme, thread, in those verses? And that's just some of the verses that generally occur at the beginning of Paul's epistles. What was he doing? Well, he was bragging on the church. He was pointing out some good things, some positive things, some things that they were doing right. And you ask, why was he doing that? What does bragging on someone, what does complimenting someone accomplish? And let me stop right here and say there is a difference between bragging and flattering someone. Flattery has you yourself as the object of it, as the goal of what you're trying to accomplish. But complimenting someone, truly complimenting, pointing out something they do good, encourages that person or that group of people to continue to do good and even to excel in what they're doing. Encouragement in a family produces and promotes love and unity and peace and growth. And encouragement fights discouragement, doesn't it? That's why Paul will consistently say things like, therefore encourage one another and build each other up just as in fact you are doing. And he'll say in Hebrews 10, let us hold unswervingly to the hope that we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on or stimulate one another toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. And Ephesians 4, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Unfortunately, I, and perhaps you can relate to this, have in my past been in congregations where folks talked about one another, they criticized one another, and you very rarely heard a word of encouragement. Nobody likes to be a part of a group like that. Consequently, there are lots of consequences that come because of that. One thing is, I really didn't want to bring any guests into a situation like that. Have you ever been there? Or you're a part of a congregation where you really didn't want, you didn't have the heart to really invite somebody to come. And also, I personally struggle with my own motivation and discouragement when that continues. So, this morning I want to brag on you a little bit. It's the beginning of a new year. I want to share with you a few reasons why I'm glad to be a member of Woodland Oaks Church of Christ family. And I wrote down a number of them, and because of time, I cut them back. But the first one is because of the importance that you place on the Bible. And that's really, I didn't really try to put these in order of importance except this one. Because this one is the most important one to me, personally. Part of me feels a sadness because of what has brought some of you here. Do you understand what I'm saying? Some of you have left a congregation that you invested 20, 30 plus years of your life. And because of recent struggles in some of those congregations, because in some cases the place where you attended had lost its emphasis on and respecting the authority of the Scriptures and no longer emphasized Bible teaching and Bible study. And because you have a love for and an allegiance to God's Word, you got tired of struggling. And that really makes me sad. Because I know of individuals, and I know that some of you fall into that category, that you've invested much of your life in a family like that. But I also have to say that I'm glad to be a part of a congregation that has a reputation for being faithful to the Bible and emphasizes reading and studying and teaching and preaching the Bible. And I'm glad that you have a place to come where you can feel safe. In 2012, we, by the way, encourage each other to read our Bibles through. And you have a preacher who's pretty persistent in that. By the way, how many of you are up on your daily Bible reading? All right, I like that at first of the year. I really like it. In 2012, we had 53 who attended our Bible Readers Banquet. And for those of you that are visiting, at the end of the year, those who have read through our Bibles in that year, we celebrate together by having a steak meal together. And that's coming up this coming Saturday, by the way. In 2012, we had 53. And that doesn't mean that's everybody who read through the Bible, but that's the majority. And then 2013, we had 87 who attended the Bible banquet. And this year, 2014, we have 172 who have signed up to read your Bibles through this year. And I'm really, really happy about that. I'll be happier when that's 300, but I'm happy that we have 172. And so we're going to encourage each one to remain true to that commitment through this year and read our Bibles through. Something that you might find interesting The congregation that I moved here from in El Dorado, Arkansas, is preparing at this time also for their 15th annual Bible Readers Banquet. We began it 15 years ago, and there are a number of people who have read through their Bibles 15 years consecutively. That's a really, really neat thing, isn't it? I can't tell you all the benefits from it, even though I try to do some of that during the year. And so I'm proud to be part of a family that keeps God's Word at the center of our lives. By the way, it just so happens that that list is still out in the foyer out there if you'd like to sign up for reading your Bible through this year. I would encourage you to do that. And then secondly, I'm proud to be a part of this family, the Woodland Oaks family, God's family here, because of your generosity. Paul told the Corinthian Christians that God loves people who give cheerfully, not reluctantly, and not because they have to, or not because of compulsion or obligation. You meet and exceed every opportunity to contribute financially to the Lord's work. I just went back about 4 years, could have gone back further, but in our budget in 2010 was $14,600 a week. In 2011, it was $16,335. In 2012, it was $18,400. In 2013, it was $20,195. And every one of those years, you far exceeded that budget. And I want to commend you for your generosity. And that's not including the special contributions to pay off our indebtedness in as early as we were allowed to without penalty on a I still call our new building over here, because we've only been in that building, four and a half years. And that building and this building and the property has been paid off to a large degree, and particularly paid off exceptionally early because of the special contributions that we've had, and enable us to get into, Lord willing, this new building that we're building with exactly the same note that we have had prior to the building of that building. And those special contributions are somewhere in the neighborhood of $500,000 per year, and that's on top of meeting the weekly budget. From my standpoint as a preacher, that's even more remarkable, all of this is, because I very rarely have preached on giving. And that's really not by my design. It is, as the elders and I talk together, that's not something that they really want me to push hard from the pulpit. And that's really an unusual thing. I have been, at one time in my life, in a place where one of the elders particularly insisted that I preach on giving. And he insisted on it, and he insisted on it. And I preached on it, and I preached on it, until finally one time he told me we needed a sermon on giving. I said, and I've never done this before in my life, I said, well, if we're going to have another sermon on giving, you're going to have to preach it. And it wasn't because people weren't giving generously. It was just something that that congregation, or at least a portion of the leadership there, decided that they wanted to emphasize regularly. It's been a while, and any sermon that you hear on giving is because I decide to preach it. It's not because the elders are pushing me to do that. And I think that's really a neat thing. Your giving for the local work reflects only a portion of your generosity. Additionally to what we've spoken about, literally hundreds of thousands of dollars are given to various mission and benevolent ministries. I know some of them. I don't know all of them. If you look on the back of the bulletin, you'll find a list of those that are supported through our budget. But know that this is only a portion of the works that are supported individually by you. We have two men who have begun and are directing preacher schools in other countries, in third world countries. We have a family that began an orphanage in Cambodia and continues to support, with your aid and support, that orphanage, and it continues to grow. Many of you travel to these and other ministries around the world. You contribute funds. You contribute your time and other resources towards supporting those. And by the way, I know that you're curious. That 2 weeks ago, we had a young man who was visiting us, one of the lost boys of Sudan. And I mentioned a line, a single line in the sermon about that he would finish his schooling at the Sunset International Bible Institute in September if he were able to find the funds. And that's all that was mentioned. You gave almost $18,000 to accomplish that. I'm incredibly proud to be a part of a congregation that is so generous, so willing, and so happy to give to support the Lord's works. And then thirdly, because the leadership, the elders, the deacons, the teachers, the ministry directors of various ministries that we have going on and others take the opportunity to serve, rather than viewing what they, the responsibility that they have been given as a position or as some kind of honorary title. Our elders genuinely strive to be spiritual leaders. I've not always been able to say that everywhere I've been. I have some of my very best friends in the world are elders, but these men here genuinely strive to be spiritual leaders. And I would give you as evidence of that, have you ever been a part of a congregation where the elders regularly, publicly encouraged us to come to them if we have a problem? I have heard the elders do that numerous occasions publicly. And let me remind you that these men, not only the elders, but the deacons and others who serve, have families and jobs just like you do. They're not automatically given extra hours in their day or in their week for the ministry that they're discharging. And so I'm really impressed to hear that invitation from them regularly. Our deacons are committed to their responsibilities, and I very much appreciate that. It's not just a junior elder title of some kind. And I want to encourage you to tell them how much you appreciate their dedication and their dependability in discharging their responsibilities. And then a third reason, or fourth reason that I'm happy to be a part of this congregation is because of our young people. And most of them come at our second assembly, but even in both assemblies, as I look over at the young people, they love to sing. They sit up front. They have their own spot here, and that's true in most congregations that they carve out a spot for themselves, and in lots of congregations, it's right on the very back. And it says something whenever they want to sit up front. They want to sit together. Many of you make special efforts to include newcomers because we need to be reminded of how difficult it is, and it, even particularly for young people who move from one school system where they become comfortable and they have friends and they move to a new place, and how awkward and how fearsome it is to make a move like that. And when I see you make special efforts to include them, I want you to know that it doesn't go unnoticed, and I thank God that you do that, and I appreciate that very much. And I know that the parents of those new families particularly appreciate any effort that you make to include them and encourage them to be a part of your group. And because you're eager to participate in our assemblies any way you can, as the guys and the young girls assist in the nursery and in children's classes in other ways where they can. And also because of your desire to live a pure life. And that's not to be taken for granted. And somebody says, well, you don't know what so-and-so does. No, and I don't know all that you do either. But I do know that I'm not bombarded by problems from our young people. And I don't constantly have people coming in telling me that this person's doing this or this person's in trouble with the law and this happened, this negative thing. And I also know that our young people become baptized believers before they leave home. And I thank God for our young people. One of the big reasons that I'm proud to be a part of this congregation is because of you, the young people. And then, lastly, And not because I've run out of things, but because I knew I wouldn't be able to fit any more in the time, because our assemblies are uplifting and encouraging. And it isn't always so in all places, is it? Our song leader isn't sitting on the front pew just before starting time, thumbing through the book, trying to find some songs that he can lead, is he? And the songs are encouraging. Our singing is enthusiastic, and it's uplifting. Our prayers are not memorized. They're not rote, memorized prayers. They're prayers from the heart, expressing our gratitude to God and our concerns and our needs. I'm continually amazed and appreciative of the spirituality of those men who have some words before the Lord's Supper and the thought that they put into that and the prayer that goes into that before that time. I'm also amazed every time the preacher doesn't go over 40 minutes. If you're visiting with us, because, by the way, that's not his nature to go less than that. If you're visiting with us this morning, I don't want to paint a picture of a church that has no problems. There is no such place as that. But our problems are minimal. And when a problem does arise, we address it. And we try to address it the way that the Bible tells us to. We're growing in number. We're growing in faith. We're growing in love as a family. And I want you to know, it doesn't really matter that we have a place for you. What really matters is that God has a place for you here in this family. And when you become a Christian, you're born into God's universal family. And God wants you to become a part of a local family. And one of the reasons, and the primary reason, is because He has given you talents and He has given you blessings, and He doesn't want you to hide those talents and those blessings and bury them in the ground. He wants you to use them. He wants you to grow them. He wants you to use those talents and blessings that He's given you to serve others. And it's a rare blessing to be in a spiritual family where you're encouraged to develop those talents. It's a really, really sweet, secure thing. A real blessing from God to be a part of a Christian family that loves and encourages one another. I'm glad to be a part of God's family here at Woodland Oaks. And God and we invite you to be a part of this family while we stand and sing.
Cleansing Park, are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood?